this morning, but you know how that goes. I had to go to a wedding instead.
We had a family wedding, which took up the whole weekend. Yeah.
Will you pray soon?
Yes. Good morning, God. We just thank you so much. Thank you so much that we're here. Thank you for the beauty with which we are surrounded. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your redemption, for the power we stand in because of the sacrifice of your Son, God. We just thank you. Thank you. Amen. Will you stand and worship with us?
Thank you.
trust you so fully that your power and presence goes before us, makes our way straight. God, let us love you. Let us follow you in obedience. Let us surrender everything that exalts itself above you, to abandon it only to choose you, God. Thank you. thank you that we have invitation into the Holy of Holies because of your Son's sacrifice. We're so grateful to stand as sons and daughters in confidence, in protection, in provision, in redemption, in purpose. God, we thank you so much for the identity we have because of your Son. We are so grateful. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, it's been a great week, another great week of sunshine, although not always like sunshine this much, but I'm always laughing when it hits this kind of weather. I'm like, when did we move to Florida? Although we don't have the humidity, so I'm happy for that. But, when you're born and raised in Alaska, 80 degrees is really hot. It was fun. We went to a wedding yesterday. I didn't have to do anything. It was really weird. I mean, I was wearing a suit and everything, but I just sat. It was really odd for me because usually I'm doing a wedding or I'm part of it or whatever. It was great. It was my wife's uncle got married. And it's just one of those cool stories of he's an older gentleman, and it's just really cool to see an older couple get married and the life that they get to live. And it was really cool because I've never, again, you go to these different weddings, and it was really cool because she's got some physical health issues, so she can't stand for a long period of time. So they were sitting down through the whole thing. And I thought it was kind of really intimate. It was really cool, and all their kids and grandkids were up on the platform with them, sitting down. It was the coolest thing to see. It's like, man, this is family, right? Instead of sitting on the front row, now they really get that front row experience in a wedding, and so it was really cool to experience that and have these two godly people come together. And really, I'm telling you all this because it was a cool event, but also they really were exemplifying what we're talking about today because they have lived their lives seeking Father's face. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. We're launching from 2 Chronicles 7:14, where we've been for the last couple of weeks. Just that one verse is just so rich when you start picking it apart. And so 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I'm starting to get that memorized because I read over it a lot. And so this week is like, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seeking the face of Father is something that we should, I don't like that word should, it's something we really must be doing every single day. Because when I say should, it gives me an option, right? I should do that, but I might not decide to, right? If I get to this mindset, I mean, I must be seeking Father's face every single day. That should be my desire. And I think about moments of, you ever have those people that have been married a really long time, they start looking like each other a little bit, right? It's a good thing, right? And my mom and dad yesterday just celebrated 62 years. It's a long time. And it's really cool to see, you know, how they've just lived their life faithfully to God, seeking Father's face every single day. Have they done it perfectly? No, because none of us ever do. But it's just this attitude of like, man, I want to seek your face, Father. So I start to reflect back to the world around me. This is what my Father looks like. And as I was thinking about God, where do I really look at this? I mean, there's lots of examples in your word. And this morning we're going to go on a journey, probably a familiar journey for most of us. But we're going to go into Exodus chapter 19. We're going to look at the life of Moses a couple encounters here in Exodus. And so we're going to look at, you know, quite a bit of scripture, but I don't want you to get bogged down with it. I want you to go on this journey with me. Because it's just as we sit in this moment of Moses' experience with God, I think it's really powerful. And I've read through this multiple times in my own quiet time, and then every time I hit it, my Bible is just all marked up with different things because I just love
this encounter that Moses has. So they've come out of Egypt. They're coming into Mount Sinai, and they reach the Mount Sinai. And that was funny. Anybody know how big Mount Sinai is, by the way? Anybody have an idea? It's a little bit taller than Pioneer Peak. I had the numbers written down. I think it's like around almost 7,500 feet tall. And so I was like, ooh, that's really tall. Well, I pulled it up on a map. It is tall, but it's not like Pioneer Peak. It's kind of rolling, and I looked it up, and I Googled all the travel things. And depending on where you start from, it takes about, if you take the really long route, it's about a four-hour hike. So if you think about that, keep that in mind as we go through this morning. In Moses' experience with God on top of this mountain, that takes not this longest, and if there's other routes that you could do it in like an hour and a half, right? So keep that in mind as we're sitting, and when we think, again, when I thought mountains, I'm thinking Alaska mountains, right? They don't have Alaska mountains there, right? They're still tall, but they're not Alaska mountains. They're mountains in Israel. So keep that in mind as we go on our journey this morning. So in Exodus chapter 19, we see obviously Moses has been encountering God. He's had these conversations from the burning bush. So Moses has had encounters with God. So this isn't his first go-around with God. But I think it's just fascinating, this intensity of when we keep in mind seeking his face. So here it is. We go into this thing where God's called him to come to this mountain. And we hit verse 16. It says, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. What a conversation. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went. Now, I don't know about you, again, like I said, I've read over this account, and this is highly underlined in my Bible. Think about that. Again, I think so often, and maybe it's just me, but so often I read through Scripture and go, yeah, that just happened. No big deal. But what would happen if smoke and fire came down on Pioneer Peak, and you heard this voice say, hey, come up and come talk to me? First, it probably takes a little longer than 4 hours to get there. I've never climbed Pioneer Peak. I know some have, and some can do it in a pretty short period of time. I'm not that kind of shape, right? But think about that experience. Okay, let's use something that probably most of us climb. Think about just on the butte, right? A lot smaller, I understand. But think about the butte being covered in smoke and fire, and a voice says, come talk to me. What would be our response? Right? Most of us would probably be like the children of Israel. We don't want to do that, right? But here's Moses. There was no hesitation. There was no like, I got to think about it. I got to pray about it. He said, Lord, call them up, and Moses went up. To me, that tells me a lot about Moses and his understanding of who his father is. Because if he didn't know who God was, and when God called him up, he'd been like, let me think about that for a moment. So he calls him up, he gets up on the mountain, and actually he went up, then he came back down, then he went back up, and that's interesting. If you go through all those things, I didn't count it all up, but I was reading an article where it said Moses went up and down the mountain 8 times in these verses, in these chapters that we're going to look over this morning. I didn't verify that, but he does go up quite a few times, right? So he comes down, goes back up, and then chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, is all about God giving Moses the Ten Commandments. And then Moses comes back down, or in verse 18 of chapter 20, it says, now when all the people saw thunders and flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, These are some of the most, I have this underlined, I'm like, this is a really sad statement we're about to read. The Moses, they were afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Now, we all need to have awe and reverence and fear of God, of who he is. But this thing of staying afar off and say, "You go talk to God." That would be like people come in here Sunday after Sunday, go, you talk to God, and then you tell us on Sunday what God has to say to us, and then during the rest of the week, I won't have my own quiet time, and I won't talk to God for myself. You will starve to death if that's your attitude. And your attitude, maybe it's not the right word. If that's your thought process. Because I cannot be the only thing where you're getting fed. I mean, hopefully there is something that God says through me in these moments on a Sunday morning that God is speaking to you. That's awesome. But I cannot be, nor can it be if you come to a Sunday school and you listen to Doug speak for that 45 minutes or so. He can't be the only time you're getting fed. Or if you're small of a small group on a week, these are all amazing good things, but they cannot replace our personal relationship with God. So when we have moments like this, and I don't know if any of us will ever have a point in time where fire and smoke come down and God says, "Come visit me," right? I think that'd be kind of cool, you know, right? But we have those kinds of moments when Father's like, we're in his word and he says, come read, come see what I have for you, that I have for you today to give you strength and wisdom and knowledge that you wouldn't have without me, without you plugging into my word every single day. And every single day I need to be plugged in. And every single day when I go talk and I visit with people, and this week has been full of conversations with people and into the long hours of the night speaking with people and other brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's just we're sitting around and sharing with each other. And last night we were sharing with a couple, an uncle and an aunt, and sitting around on a deck, and he's like, "Man, this is, we just had church." Because we're just sharing and pouring in each other. Why? Because individually and togetherly, we're collectively seeking Father's face. We're seeking the things that we know about him. And just like Moses, he knew who God was. He's seen all the things that God did in Egypt. And he's seen the things that have come up. And the things that we're, even the things we're looking at this morning, I'm sure are not the whole story. Right? I mean, We get to read a lot of what God said to Moses, because in chapters 20, verses 22 through 20, I know what I'm talking about. I got my notes here and I'm still messing it up. So 20 through 22, 23, chapter 23, verse 23, is just God giving him instruction. I think it goes farther than that. I think I wrote something down wrong. All right. All right. So verses chapter 20 through 22, starting verse 22 through 23, 33, is instruction given directly from God to Moses. And then we hit Exodus chapter 24, verse 15. Then Moses went up the mountain again, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights on this mountain where you can climb it at the longest point of time in 4 hours. But when you think about where they wandered for 40 years, that wasn't a very big space either. But here's Moses on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights talking to his God and getting more information downloaded. In chapters 25 through 31, 18 is all this instruction on intentional, clear instruction on how to live and how to build a temple and all these different things. And I'm like, wow, is Moses writing this all down? I mean, we have the tablets that God writes on, and that's another thing that blows my mind, right? You think about what God's handwriting looks like. We don't know, but Moses did because he got to see it. You ever think about that? What did God's handwriting look like? I'm sure it was legible, right? It's very clear. But here we are, and he gives us all this instruction that Moses gets. He's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he's up there having this great time of communion with Father, and he's up there receiving all this information and instruction that has never been given before. All right, again, think about that. We have God's word, and we read over his word over and over and over again, and it's a beautiful, awesome thing. But can you imagine Moses getting this for the first time ever? And here you go. Here's this instruction on how to build my temple and how to lead my people. And I'm sure Moses is an amazing place with God. And at the end of chapter 31, verse 18, then he gave to Moses, when he finished, give all these laws and instructions to Moses. And when he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, the two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. That's, I know we just talked about that, but was it an actual finger that came out of nowhere, out of this cloud, and wrote? Or did it just appear? We have no idea. But it says written by the finger of God, so I'm saying, hey, if we're going to take it literally. Right, but so here's Moses having this amazing encounter with God in verse 1 of chapter 32. When the people saw Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, Make us gods who shall go before us. As for Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Moses is seeking his face, Father's face, and the people, because Moses is taking a while to get. Now don't get me wrong, 40 days and 40 nights is a bit of a time to wait. Because when Moses went up the mountain, he probably didn't know how long he was going to be there. Right? And so these people are getting antsy, and it's always fascinating to me because they've stopped understanding, they've stopped believing in who their God was, and they have seen God's hand over and over and over when they came out, when they were in Egypt, right? They saw all the effects of the plagues. They saw how God led them out of Egypt. They saw how God wiped out the Egyptians when they chased after him in the Red Sea. They saw miracle after miracle, and yet they come to this place, they can't wait for 40 days, and they start turning to other gods. How does that happen? Because they're not seeking Father's face. They're telling Moses, you go talk to him and then you give us instruction. We'll obey the instruction, but we don't want to have a relationship. And it's easy to get blame on the Israelites, like, you guys are so dumb. Why did you guys have God and the power, cloud by day and a fire by night? How could you mess that up? You had it in living color. Well, we mess it up all the time, too, and we have a lot more information than they did. And we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have that. And we stop seeking. We can get like the children of Israel, and we're like, well, God's not answering fast enough, so I'm going to turn to something else, and maybe that will make me happy, or maybe that will give me the answers that I want. And I think so often, I've seen it in my own life, when I move too quick, God's just about to answer, and I find out, do my own thing, and God's like, oh man, okay, you can do it that way, but I had a really cool solution for you if you would just hung out on a minute. So Moses comes off this mountaintop experience. And I think it's fascinating that he gets all the instructions on the mountaintop. And he takes time to get away, so whether it's a mountain, physical mountaintop, or just getting away to spend that intense time with God, I don't know what it would be like to spend time with my God for 40 days and 40 nights and do nothing else. That might be a good exercise for me to do at some point. That's over a month. I mean, I don't know you guys know that. Imagine just taking a month, day and night, and all you're doing is pouring into and listening to what God would have to say to you. Guarantee you that would change me. I think that would change all of us. Now, if we took those moments, I don't think, obviously God's not going to tell you what he told Moses, but I'm sure he would have something to tell us. And I know it's like, well, we don't have that kind of time to take that. I got to work. I got kids to take care of. I got all this. Sure. Okay, so maybe it's not 40 days and 40 nights. When's the last time we've spent 40 minutes? And again, I'm not trying to pick on us about like, oh, we got to spend all this time. I'm saying it's an attitude of like praying without ceasing. It's this continual seeking of Father's face regardless of what we're doing. When we're having conversations with people, are we seeking Father's wisdom and knowledge and understanding? Are we hearing this person like Father's hearing them? And are we able to give into them and speak into their lives the things that we know that are Father's words? And that was the thing, like last night and other conversations I've had this week that were so intense. It was just this intense listening of like, I mean, I know what I want to say, but is that what should be said in this moment? It's that continual seeking of Father's face. And then we hit Exodus chapter 33. Verse 9, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses, get these words, face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. But this verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That verse right there tells me that Moses was having a conversation and hearing the voice of God like you're hearing mine now. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I don't think it was God talking to him in his brain. I think it was a loud conversation that he was having with his father. What does God's voice sound like? I don't think it's a high-pitched, squeaky voice. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's not what I think of when I think of God's voice. I think it's a voice we can't compare to anything we've ever heard. I think, you know, from the other descriptions that he speaks with thunder and lightning, I think there's some of that thunder and lightning and pretty intense sound coming out when Father speaks audibly. But Father speak to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. So Moses is having all these encounters with God, and he finally gets to this point where he has a request. And we get down to verse 18 of chapter 33, and Moses says, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me which you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, but you shall not see, but you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses wants, he's having this conversation, he just wants more. And isn't that just like us? When we're in a relationship with Father, we want more, or we should desire more. And that's a good thing to want more of. It's a good thing to want more of who God is and want more to see his face. And I'm just saying, I'm sure Moses was like, then just let me die, because I think that'd be a good way to go, right? Flash and you get to see your father's face and then you're dead. I could go like that. That'd be kind of cool, right? But someday we are going to be able to see him face to face. Because he's changed? No, because we're going to change. And we're not going to have these frail bodies that can't handle the glory of God. And we've gone through all this experience with Moses and his physical encounter with God. And then one of my most favorite encounters and results of Moses' encounter with God. And again, he goes back up. So he's come down, and then he goes back up on, I think for the last time, and again, he's up on the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights. And then verse 29 of chapter 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, and these he had to write himself because he broke the other two, with the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. His face physically shone, and we know the rest of the story. They actually had to put a veil over it because it was so bright that people were freaking out. Now, don't get me wrong, I think it would be kind of freaky to watch somebody walk around with a big glowing face, right? But I was talking about this with my aunt and uncle and my two aunts and uncles last night around on the deck, and we were just like, I know this is Moses' thing, right? And we have no other account of anybody else doing this, but I think if it happened to Moses, I think it could happen to us. If we were really seeking Father's face at that level, now I understand he was encountering God in the physical realm. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying, what would it look like if we lived out our lives so intently seeking Father's face that maybe our faces aren't going to grow to that magnitude? But we must be putting out into the atmosphere who God is. Because we are living lives that are totally sold out, committed to seeking Father's face. So that when I look into your face and you look into mine, you see Father. You stop seeing Pastor Mark. You see Father's face. You hear Father's words. You see Father's love shining out of each other's eyes. Because when we're in that place of seeking Father's face, and we're in that place of it intently seeking him at this level, we will change. We have to change. It's just like one of those natural things. I'm not saying there's not work involved in those kinds of things, but most of the work is coming to that place of, look, God, whatever you want is what I will do. Whatever I need to get rid of, I will get rid of. Whatever it is that will hinder me from seeing your face, man, that's what I want to see. And I've seen over and over again, and again, you know that I don't vilify technology. It's something that we all have, and it's part of all of our lives right now. But even just the simple face, having a conversation with somebody and looking them in the eye when you're talking to them, is a lost art. And it has been a lost art for a long time, even long before cell phones. But it breaks my heart when I go somewhere and you can see these couples. They're obviously, I'm assuming they're on a date. And they're both on their cell phone. And I've watched couples the whole time I've been at places. And never once did they look up from their phones. The meal has come. They've ate the meal. It's just like, wow. And again, I'm not vilifying, but I'm saying the enemy has used that technology to stop us seeking Father's face and also seeking each other's face and having that communication face to face without the distraction of a cell phone or any other technology. I dare say most of us, and Even in my own self, I don't do this as much as I need to with my own wife. Put the cell phones down and have a face-to-face conversation about anything. I don't care. Right? Like when you can intently stare into the eyes of your wife or your husband or your kids or a friend of yours, what color are their eyes? Are they just one color? Do they have flecks of other color in them? I mean, it sounds like a silly little thing, right? But when you gaze that intently into someone's face, even someone you love, because we get out of the practice of it, it's a little almost uncomfortable, right? I remember years ago at a conference, I was there by myself, and people that came with their teams were instructed to get with somebody they didn't know. Sitting across a table from someone, I think it was like 2.5 minutes, you could not break eye contact. That's awkward, staring into the eyes of another man. Right? But it was awkward at first, and of course you hear all the laughing, and you're not supposed to say anything. And then the next instructions were like, okay, we're going to do this again. And as you're staring into the other person's eyes, ask Father to tell you something about them. I was like, that's weird. But as you're sitting there and you're staring, and I can't remember what I said to this gentleman, but whatever I said to him and whatever he said to me was things that neither one of us could have known about each other. And the words we said to each other were so intently appropriate and so powerful in that moment. Especially when we knew there's no way this total stranger could know this and need to give me this word of encouragement. The only way that could have happened is with God, Father God, downloading that to two of his boys in a 2-minute time period, as awkward as they were. But it's that idea of that intent gazing. That intent gazing into his word and seeking his face. That intent gazing into each other's faces. Because I'm telling you people, the world needs us to see them. But first of all, we need to see each other. I have experiences with people out in the world almost every week and having those conversations with people. And it's not about the intently gazing, but it's about like that those moments of listening to Father say, what do you want me to tell to this person that has no idea who you are? And every single time he gives me something to say, and it changes the conversation where it might have started out one place and it goes in a totally different direction. Why? Because I want Father to use me up to the point where at the end of my life I have nothing left to give. But because I've been intently seeking his face, I want to be wore out. I want to be wore out from seeking and conveying Father's heart to each and every person that I get to have the privilege of coming in contact with. How intently are we seeking Father's face today? Are we like Moses? Do we want to step into that cloud that's full of thunder and lightning and darkness, which sounds like a really weird thing? Are we like the children of Israel? No, you go talk to him, and I'm going to stand afar off. I pray that we will be like Moses. Let's step into the thunder. Let's step into the lightning. Let's step into the darkness where God is. And let's have our faces shine like Moses and have people go, man, there's something weird about you. Oh, yeah, I know. And some of that's just me, but some of that's God. So I pray that's your prayer this morning, that you seek after him so hard that your face shines with his likeness. Father God, this morning I thank you for your word. I thank you for this moment in time that we just briefly looked at this morning with Moses and And I'm sure there's more to the story of what's even written down. There's more to those moments that you had with him that we don't have recorded. And Father, I know that you still speak, maybe not in an audible voice, although I've heard people have had that encounter. That's awesome. But you still speak to us in all kinds of ways, through your word and through other people and all these kinds of things. But Father, when they line up with who you are, it's such an enriching thing. And you walk away from an encounter when you have a group of brothers and sisters together just talking and about the truths of who you are. It's just such a powerful thing. And as we launch into our realms of responsibility, our jobs, our families, all those different things, Father, we need to be carrying your light and your word and your wisdom into all those situations. And I'm just grateful that we get to be part of this, the story that you're writing. And we can look around our world today and be disheartened and discouraged, and there's all those things that could easily drive that. But we need to keep coming back to the reality that you are still on the throne and that you are still Father God and that you still have everything under control. And it doesn't matter what all the world thinks, that they've got all these things figured out. You've got it taken care of. So may we always keep our eyes fixed on you, because you're the only one that is the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to close this morning with communion. I lost my place. Actually, I don't need it. But communion for us, again, is just a reminder of the reason we get to have this experience. Because of Jesus' blood and death on the cross. And every time we take communion, we do this in remembrance of him like he instructed us, that we just remember what it's all about. That we don't take these things lightly, and that we don't just like, well, this is just something we do every month. But it's just a reminder of like, man, I am so grateful, Jesus, that you came and you gave your life for us. And on the cross, you said, it is finished. It's done. It's over. I don't have to strive anymore. Once I give my life to Jesus Christ, I don't have to strive anymore because he has completed the work. And all I have to do is come into this place of remembering and believing all the things that he has said and living in this place. And am I going to do it perfectly? Absolutely not. But every single time, I know it's covered by his blood. And I know every single day he is talking to my Father going, man, I've got him covered. Don't worry about it. I got it covered. And he does that for all of us all the time. And that's a crazy thing that continues to blow my mind, that we can all come and sit in Father's lap all at the same time. We can all intercede all at the same time. And he is just intimately having a conversation with just you and just me all at the same time. And it's all because of Jesus. So this morning as you come, just let him wash that over you. Doug and Diane, will you take one side for me, please? Yeah, I know. So just come. And if you haven't been with us before, just come up, take the elements, and just go back to your own seat and just take them. It's a private thing, and then after a little while, we'll close. So when you're ready, just come on up. Oh, and the bread is gluten-free, in case you're wondering. So we try to make it for everybody can have it. Thank you. just thank you for today. Your sacrifice, being willing to come into your own creation and give your life away. I thank you that we are covered by your blood and that we don't have to do anything but receive your great gift. May we live lives that are just sold out for you, that are constantly seeking, never abdicating it to someone else, but our own intense relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.